What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Welcome back. All the smoke. We're out here in Sacramento, California with the Kings for training camp.
Yes, sir.
And right now, man, we got a good one. We got the reigning NBA Coach of the Year. Only, is it the only unanimous Coach of the Year in the history of the game?
I think so.
God damn, Mike. That's so. A hell of a title.
My
right
guy.
There.
Y'all don't even know our history. This is my guy.
Welcome to the show, Mike Brown.
Yes, sir. Thanks for being a coach.
Oh, I appreciate y'all for
yes,
sure.
Sir.
Man, you were a part of something that was really big for this city. You broke the 16-year drought. You came here, you brought a lot of energy, and you brought just a whole new confidence and comfortability, might I say, for the team, for the city. What was your first year like here in Sacramento?
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I mean, you know the vibe when it comes to Kings here because you've spent a lot of time mm-hmm. here, whether it was with the team or not yep. with the team. And these people, they breathe and live this
life.
Team. I mean, they, 16 years, they ain't go to playoffs, but they still hurt from that
yeah.
year after year after year after year. And so for us to break the drought, have the fans engaged again, and be as excited as they were and are, it's just a great feeling, a fantastic feeling for all of us, mm-hmm. you know, and it's more than basketball when you see people's faces light up when they're talking to you about mm-hmm. the playoffs and right. the energy.
What
and
else
all that
is it here,
stuff.
Come on, bro.
I'm just saying, the Kings is everything here.
Hey, send your comments to him. That's my guy, but send your comments to Stephen Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, that's he.
How's life? You know, obviously, making the playoffs isn't good enough. I know you well enough to know that. But how was your first offseason here? And did you get to do anything outside of kind of how do we get better for next year?
No, you know, I got a chance to enjoy the city. I'm not a guy that goes boating, mm-hmm. you know,
because I got you out on the water.
I went to Lake Folsom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went out to Lake Folsom, mm-hmm. got a couple little boats, and me yeah. and some family and friends went nice. Out there on the lake and had a good time, you know, mm-hmm. getting to know the city and the people in the city, especially you know, they got some pretty walking down on the mm-hmm. river and all that other stuff. It's been a good time in the summer. The only thing that I didn't get a chance to do, I'm a boy, I got two Harleys. I didn't get a chance to hop on my Harleys and
ride up to
there's
Tahoe.
There's some mm-hmm. great riding in this yep. area. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get a chance to do that. But other than that,
you're going to have a plenty of years here. You're going to be able to knock that out sooner yeah. or later.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
How do you reflect on last year's seven-game battle with Golden State? You know, obviously coming from Golden State, playing them in the first round of the playoffs. Mm. To me, I thought as someone who loves the game, watches the game, mm. as a fan of both teams, I thought you guys learned so much from that that's going to pay off this year. But how do you, as obviously the head coach, reflect on that series?
Well, the first thing, as you said a little earlier, you know, I'm not in this thing. And I think our guys understand that too. And they feel the same. We're not in it to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, people may think that this is bold or whatever, but we're trying to win a championship. That's what we're competing for. And people talk about, well, the pressure's on this year. No, ain't no pressure because we expect to win a championship. That's what we're fighting for. So it's no different for us this year than what it is last year or going forward. Having said all that, you know, again, the disappointment of losing, especially losing the first round, it was tough. It took a little bit to get over. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Steve Kerr is a great coach. They got a lot of great players there with Steph, Clay, Draymond, Andre. I mean, I can go down the line. And at the time, they're the world champs. So to learn a thing or two from the world champs was great for us. Mm-hmm. They made us adjust our offense a little bit. You know, historically, we had the number one offense in the game. Analytically, and even and some people would say with the eye test, but they took some of that away. Mm-hmm. And so we had to make adjustments during the playoffs that I think can help us going forward. Mm-hmm. Defensively, that's where I was most concerned, mm-hmm. but our guys did step up. They took it to a level that I wasn't sure if we can get mm-hmm. to, which gave us an opportunity at the end of the day. And mm-hmm. so now they showed me that they could do that. Mm-hmm. We got to do that now. We can't wait to the playoffs.
To play that
like we finished 25th in the league defensively. So we can't wait till the playoffs mm-hmm. to take that step.
Yep,
it's got to happen yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be a standard that we set and that we all hold each other accountable for mm-hmm. for doing it in a shoot-around, a practice, and or a game.
Mm-hmm. You were right in the middle of mm-hmm. those Golden State championship runs. You know, you spoke to obviously what you guys learned as a team. What did you learn as a coach? Being right up Highway 80 with Golden State.
I tell you what, Steve Kerr, Pop is too, okay? But Steve Kerr is one of the best messengers I've been around. Mm. And, you know, as a young coach, I coach both of y'all. Mm-hmm. You know, as a young coach, because I was fortunate, blessed, lucky, however you want to call it, to be able to be a head coach at a young age. Mm-hmm. And I was all about, okay, hard work, mm-hmm. you know, and if you work hard and you outwork everybody, everything else will fall into place. Mm-hmm. But it's more to it than that, especially as the head coach. And Steve's ability to message to the group on a daily basis was unbelievable. And I always call Steve a young coach, even though he's older than me. He's a young coach for the number of years he coached. Mm-hmm. Every day I used to carry a little notebook pad of paper in my pocket and a pen. Because when he talked to the team, I was like, dang, that's on point.
Crazy, right?
It's simple.
It's effortless.
But it's on point. Mm-hmm. And if you can message correctly to your group, as well as have a feel of what their strengths and weaknesses are mm-hmm. and try to play to that, mm-hmm. then the belief that you instill in everybody as a whole can be off the charts.
Yep.
And you may not be as talented as the next team, but that belief and that connectivity mm-hmm. is partly to do or a lot to do with your messaging mm-hmm. to the group on a daily basis. That can take you places that you can't imagine going.
Absolutely.
So I that was probably the biggest thing I learned is the messaging aspect to the team, how important it is. Mm-hmm. You know, because I didn't take it as serious as I do now. And a lot of it is the reality of it is I didn't know.
Didn't
and that's
know,
something
right?
that I learned from Steve as well as a few other things.
Was this the same thing Deion doing? The message? Yeah, giving these guys belief in themselves to go out there and do something that people saying you can't do, right? So that's the message, right?
Jack, so I don't know. I don't know Coach Prime. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call him Coach Prime.
Yeah.
At first I was like, but he earned that from me. So
yeah.
I'm going to call him Coach Prime,
yeah.
okay? I got his number after the first win at TCU, and I text him. And all I said in my message was, I'm so hyped watching this game. Not because y'all won and won in the way y'all won, but when I watched the game and I saw your interaction with your players and the connectivity that you had with your players,
they believe in themselves.
That's what got me hyped.
Yeah, you feel it. Yeah, that stands out. I mean, I don't know if anyone told you, but, you know, I've been here for 3 years working, you know, with on the broadcast side, and, you know, going to practice before you got here and then going to practice once you got here, you've completely changed the energy, the environment, the atmosphere. We even spoke to De'Aaron Fox earlier after practice, and he was saying, like, you know, man, I got paid a bunch of money, but it was hard to come to work. He's like, I love to come to work now. And I obviously credit to management putting the pieces together, but I feel like you brought an environment that this franchise was desperately lacking, and just kind of wanted to give you credit for that, because I've personally seen it as a player, again, watching older practices with other team or other coaches, and then to see what you guys are on now, and even could see you cuss someone out today, kind of made us both smile. You brought it.
It felt good. That's normally the curse words are normally directed to me.
Or me. if it wasn't you, it was me. So we'll have someone else see it. But, you know, just to kind of give you your flowers from that standpoint, because, again, De'Aaron was saying just weird things like, it's so important for this team and this organization, and we love to come to work now, and it's just way different. And again, just wanted to kind of credit you
for that. I appreciate it. You know, one of the things that we say here is we want to win the day. You know, we want to win the day. And part of winning the day is, number one, your work ethic or competitive spirit that you bring to the table. Number two is the details. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't overlook any detail if you want to be great. And the last one is continuing to form that belief in each other that we're going to be good. And the way you do that is by doing things the right way, playing the game the right way. And, you know, for me, I got to make sure if I'm asking my guys to do that, the details and coming to work and bringing the competitive spirit and all that, I got to do the same. Mm-hmm. I got to let them feel. They don't have to always see it or hear it, but they got to feel that all that stuff's important to me. Mm-hmm. So I got to bring it too. Absolutely. I can't come in here and sit back and chill and let them work. And
you got to be out there running the line drills with them some days. Yes, I seen you. I was like, oh shit, Mike, don't pull no hammy. Mike was out there spinning his ass off.
But you know what winning look like. See, that's the thing though. As a player, to have a coach come in here, not only did I know I can have a relationship with him, but you know what winning look like. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to respect that, because that's where we all trying to go.
Mm-hmm. We're all trying,
to get 100%. There. You guys brought your core back, and obviously being in the media, some people, Sacramento didn't make a ton of moves, and I didn't look at it from that sun, but I looked at it. They believe in what they got.
Yes.
They're building what they got. You re-signed Sabonis. You brought the rest of your core back. You have some strategic adds like a Chris Duarte, JaVale McGee, Sasha, who I'm looking forward to getting a chance to see. But, you know, obviously expectations are a championship, but talk about the growth you've seen, and it's only been a couple of weeks from the core last year to this year.
You again hit it on the head. If you think about teams that had great runs in this game, they're usually the teams that have a core that they keep together. A lot of times, you might be able to have a run if you throw this free agent, that free agent again. You might have a good year, maybe 2 years if you're lucky. Then somebody's out, and so now you got to start all over again. And one of the things I told, you know, Vivek and Monty and Wes is, I'd like to build a culture here that's sustained. I'd like to build a winning culture that's sustained so that 3, 4 years, 5 years from now, we still rocking it because we got our group together. And then eventually, okay, hey, he may be getting a little older, or maybe, okay, let's move on from him and bring somebody else in. Mm-hmm. And so then the new ones coming up can keep it going. And that's what gives you longevity at the top of this game, or in my opinion, any game. So in order for us to do that, we had to figure out what our core is, and then we had to give them an opportunity to see if they can grow, to see if we can grow from within. And that comes from our work in the summertime. You know, if you working in the summertime and you getting together and you getting connected in the summertime, there's going to be some carryover. And so the thing I saw this summer from our guys is Foxy's growth with his leadership. It started last year, but to see him take Keegan Murray under his wing and help Keegan grow at a faster rate than if Keegan was working out, because he's going to work out on his own every day, no matter what. But to have Foxy have him under his wing and doing that, and Fox interacting with him and getting Keegan to use his voice, because Keegan was a quiet kid. Mm-hmm. Now Keegan talking shit. Yeah, I can say that on y'all show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can say whatever you want.
I like that. I like that shit. You know, to get Keegan to talk right. shit now.
Yeah.
You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's real coming yeah, from Keegan, gross. Who's a quiet guy. Mm-hmm. And so that's helped Keegan's growth. But listen to Fox address the team and our guys did some stuff with other players around the league and listen to Fox talk to the group, and not just our players, but other players coming in at the end and the huddle and stuff like mm-hmm. that. It made me want to say, okay, I'm gonna follow Fox. Mm-hmm. You know, so his leadership was off the charts in terms of growth. So give him an opportunity to do it again. Mm-hmm. Keegan, he's stronger. Mm-hmm. He's more confident. Now he's not just gonna be a catch and shoot guy. Mm-hmm. You're gonna see he's gonna put it on the floor. Mm-hmm. He's gonna play some pick and roll. He's gonna play some zoom action. You know, so let these guys grow. For sure, a second year, maybe even a third year before you start messing with the core. We feel like we have a core right now that can be sustained.
Speaking of Keegan, I want to speak to this because I saw it early last year and just kind of having an IQ for the game. You challenged him from the jump on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. You were making him guard point guard. You were making him guard some of the best twos in the game. You didn't let him hide or kind of find your rhythm. You threw him right in the fire because I feel like, and what I was saying on broadcast, Mike wants him to be one of the best two-way players in the game. Was I right to read that?
100%. And he has the capability of doing mm-hmm. it, you know, and you both know it. You both were two-way guys. And so you know how valuable that is in our business, especially at your size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
your size, your mm-hmm. size, and Keegan's size.
Mm-hmm.
You get a guy that can guard on the ball, now you could do different things. Now, at times, you may be able to switch 1-5.
Yep.
You know, because if a 5 rolls him down, you know mm-hmm. he's going to be able to keep Mark the glass in or mm-hmm. get him off that block and not be able to get taken advantage of. So Keegan has the ability to do it. We just got to put him in positions to be uncomfortable and try to figure it out yep. from time to time without really hurting the team as a whole mm-hmm. for too long of stretches.
Yeah.
I remember I was in San Antonio when I first got to San Antonio, and I was frustrated about not playing. And he came to me one day in practice. He was like,
"You can't say he let the world." You mean coach.
Mike Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, this is how it started.
Okay,
I'm in New Jersey. I make the rookie All-Star team. Byron don't play me no more the second half.
How come?
I have no idea.
Okay,
but you know, it's just a P in me, I guess. we playing the Spurs. I'm just on the sideline, my woman's ain't warming up or nothing, because you know me. I ain't playing. Fuck all y'all. Ready to divide it, you know? Ain't warming up or nothing, J-Mac, right? So I see him walking down. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? He walks, he's like, keep your head. Keep your head. We come to get you. Keep your head. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
hey, right? Hold on real quick. I can't get fined for that now.
Statute of limitations.
Okay.
Statute of limitations.
Because he put it out, man. I'm worried they're going to come hit me with 10.
I told this story 3 times already.
Okay, go ahead.
And so I'm like, cool. So during the summertime, you know, I was on a one-year deal, so I ended up signing with San Antonio for summer league. Had a great summer league, ended up making the team, but I'm not playing right out. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the injured list. He comes, this was my career change in San Antonio. He was like, we all know you can score. You were second in summer league behind Dirk scoring. What's going to get you on this court? If you play defense.
Mm.
I locked in from there.
Locked in.
That turned me into a two-way player. I wasn't a two-way player until that conversation. And that got me on the court with the Spurs. Then I ended up starting. Then I ended up winning. You know what I'm saying? So all that's, when he say that to people, he sees something in you that you don't see in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's credited you a lot of times with that, and it's dope to have you here and have you hear it, because he's credited you a lot to kind of turn. It takes a lot to turn a fucking light on in his head. So
that shit don't work. That smell don't click all the
time. You need to twist it.
The power might be off. You might be dead. Somebody might have paid bills this week.
Oh man.
That's right. But a lot of y'all don't know that story, man. Me getting to San Antonio, me getting the opportunity to play on the championship team and all that started with Mike Brown.
Well, nah,
I love you forever for that, man.
I'm going to take it a step further, too, because a lot of people don't know that year, if you're not in the lineup, we don't win it.
Mm.
You know, and you know, obviously, Tim is Tim. Well, I'm not taking nothing away from that. But you carried us at times that people in today's game and world don't even know during that championship run, which was off the charts beautiful.
Definitely doing this.
Yeah, but I knew you, RC Buford, Pop, Tim, they, I knew, trust me, I knew, because y'all made me feel like, made me feel so appreciated. That's about, dope. You know, being able to beat that experience.
Popovich, speaking of Spurs, Popovich's theory is you need three stars in their prime to win a championship. You obviously have two all-NBA performers in Fox and Sabonis. Who are you looking forward to stepping up this year to possibly be that third star?
Keegan. By I'm going to put the pressure on. I mean,
I was waiting for you to say it.
No. Hey, we had a practice last week, and he played Zoom action. He hit the big, and he went back and got the ball, or he played DHO, and his man went underneath. And Keegan passed the ball. And I stopped practice. I said, whoa.
Yeah, not here. Oh.
I said, if another man disrespect you and go under anything that you do out on that floor, you better shoot it.
Yeah.
I said, because if you don't, you're coming out the game. Mm-hmm. So you figure it out. You do what you want to do.
You did. You take it there.
And then, hey, I'll tell you, next clip, went under.
Wow, lit him, yeah.
Lit him. He's got the chance. Now, I ain't going to give it to him.
Yeah,
I
got to earn it.
He got to earn it. Mm-hmm. But he got the chance to be that guy.
Mm-hmm. I see it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of that.
I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Going back to this knucklehead, what was he like at 22, 23? What was it like? What was a young stack?
Don't remind me.
Well, first of all, as you know, it's a true man right there. He's a true man. He got
great heart.
He got a great heart. Mm-hmm. His heart is awesome. My son's playing a little flag football. And he Saturday morning, 10 o'clock game. You know, we out on the field, cold in India. He's there with his crew. He make his whole crew get up and come watch. come watch Little League flag football.
That's
dope. You know, but I got to tell, I hope I got enough time to say these stories. So the first one, and I'm going to get a lot, I'm going to get probably some emails and some calls, but we used to take our team to Houston.
Yeah.
In the summertime, and our top 9-10 guys would go now. We go for about a week and we break bread, work out. And that's when all of the players used to go to Houston.
Fun day.
Yeah.
Fun day.
Because Luke had the gym going. The gym was rocking. Mm-hmm. So we used to keep all our players together when we played pickup. And this is when Tim fell in love with Jack. So we played a field game against most of the Rockets. And, you know, Tim and David, because they were both there. They both real quiet, head down guys. And, you know, the Rockets, they talking a little smack.
They was talking trash.
And Coutinho threw a lob to Steve Francis, or Francis threw a lob to Coutinho, and wham, and dunked it. And they like, yeah. Let's run these bitches out of here. Jack grabbed the ball. He said, whoa, wait now. Who y'all calling bitches?
Put a name and an address on that.
he said, because if it's directed at any of us, we go find out who
right
bitches
now.
We go outside right now.
It's basketball. We ain't gonna do that.
And man, and you, Tim and David, they were like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yes. Bro. Exactly. Yes. Tim loved it.
Hey, Matty, from that time on,
yeah,
nobody said nothing to our team.
And Tim had me like this from here on out.
From that on. Yep. That's the first thing. So everybody loved him because he's about the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's about, if you on his team, he got your back. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to worry about that at all. And the second thing was, this was interesting. This kept my life interesting. Anytime we play a game, all right, and Jack know this. Soon as I'm okay saying that one too, right?
Say what else?
Okay.
We didn't say a way for
it. Soon as he fuck up, he know the horn coming, right?
Yeah. I ain't got to look at the bitch. I know somebody come and get me out.
Okay. And as soon as he hear that horn, he don't even turn and look. He start cursing. And I'm like, oh, shit, okay. I don't have to deal with this. So Pop ain't even look at him now, okay?
Go
Jack,
get Mike.
Jack walking, just looking at Pop. Rah, 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 rah. Pop looking at the action. Jack walking to the end. As soon as he passed the coaches, I know it's my job. I get
this up. Pop,
yep, yep, tap my leg. So I go down to the end. I get my curse out. No, fuck that MB. Get the fuck out of here. That, you know that's a boat. So I sit there. I get cursed out. Then I'm like, okay, you done?
You done, motherfucker?
Yeah. Then if he ain't done, he'll keep going. But if he done, if I say, yeah, I'm done, I say, okay, now this is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And after he take a breath.
You let me get it out.
After he take a breath, he know what's right, what's wrong. He relax for a sec. Then he go back out there. And if it was bad enough, he go.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going in. Just stand in front of me, looking around. You know, let me get it out. Just be blocking me from coaching. Yep. I'm going in. Yeah, okay, all right. You done, motherfucker? You done? That's how I always
go. And you know what? It was bad. Again, this is a testament to his heart. If he was wrong, he'd be the first to admit it. And not just to one person, like the whole group. Mm-hmm. He gonna go in front of the whole group and he goes, hey,
I didn't know no better. I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? I was still learning. I was learning how to be a professional. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I was on a team with a whole bunch of guys who were the ultimate professionals.
Yep.
I'm still learning. You know what I'm saying? So, but that was a culture shock to go from New Jersey where you had a whole bunch of guys who on their way out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sherman Douglas, then I go to a team where you got stars like Tim Duncan, Derrick Robinson, but this is an organization that's everything is about winning. It feels like a championship here. So it was a culture shock for me, but it was the best thing for me because if I'd have went anywhere else, I wouldn't have lasted that long. But since we talk about it, it just resurfaced of me calling off my wedding. My boy was there.
Oh, yeah.
Mike was there. Yeah.
So you came all the way for nothing too?
All the way for nothing. All the way for nothing. for nothing. Mike was done. Holding me down, dog. I was in there crying. I remember this vividly, bro. When I called the wedding off, to be honest, all jokes aside, I was really hurt, bro. Yeah, and he knows because I loved that girl. And I was really wanting to be married for me to take that step. But this is what I remember vividly. And this is why I love him and Mike Bibby's mama. I was in there crying, like hard down crying. Mike Bibby's mom came in there and wiped snot and tears away with her bare hands and told me, "You became a man today." And he came right behind her and said the same thing. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
How old were you?
I was, 23, 24 at the time.
I
came straight up out of it, dog. You know what I'm saying? And that meant a lot, because if I didn't have them there that day, I don't know how I would have made it out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, people can talk all this shit. Yeah, you was a man. You did what you're supposed to do. But I was hurt, bro.
Right.
I was hurt for a long time because I actually wanted to be married.
Mm-hmm. Even though it might not have been the best thing for you.
Definitely was. Yeah. But healed my pockets.
God works in mysterious ways, don't he? I mean, obviously, getting back to how important Mike and instrumental.
We got too many stories. We'll be going all day.
I'm gonna keep navigating. Y'all love it. Mike was one of three people that helped you get back in the league. Can you guys both speak to that?
Mm-hmm.
This is after the brawl in Indiana.
I'll start. So after San Antonio, I wanted my big contract. We won a championship. I felt like I deserved a big contract because, like Mike said, they didn't look at it like that, but I carried a lot of games. Game 6 in the West Conference Finals, we don't win that game if I don't carry us the first three quarters. So I was thinking like that in my head, but I didn't know the business as well. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If I could rewind back, I would have took that three years, $10 million because I would have been on a championship team. I probably won two more championships. Then I would have got a crazy bag.
Right.
That's here and all there. But I didn't understand the business at the time. So I was upset with them not getting my bag. So I had to go to Atlanta for 1 year to prove myself. I'm betting on me. I bet on myself today in front of anybody. I'm betting on me. And I went there and balled out. But I had this in my mind that I didn't get my big contract, but I knew I had Mike and Rick and Indiana that was interested in me. I had no idea I was going to get a contract from them, but I knew they were interested and I knew I had a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew go to Atlanta and ball out. Sure, shit stank. I ball out in Atlanta. They have another mid-level exception available. And Donnie Walsh was high on me by then, too. And I remember Mike telling me, like, we gonna get you over here. And that's how it worked out for me going to Indiana. Ended up getting the biggest contract I've ever had. Thanks to my guy.
Now, fast forward to...
Thanks to you, because you earned
it. I went grind for it. Yeah. Grind for it.
Fast forward to the brawl.
Yeah, that was crazy, man. Like, so the brawl situation was crazy. Because it seemed like it happened from this. I'm getting Larry Bird calling me, telling me that I'm signing a big deal with Indiana. And it seemed like the brawl happened the next day in my mind. That's how, you know what I'm saying? Because that happened as soon as I got there.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I was in a position, Matt, where we finna win a championship.
100.
Y'all was loaded.
Oh, man.
Nobody beating us, bro. Nobody beating us. You know, we had Reggie on the court, but our lineup was Jamal, me at the two, Ron at the three, Jeff Foster at the four, and Jermaine. Ain't nobody beating that five at that time. Mm. On both ends
and
of the court.
If y'all lost, y'all can fight too.
You know what I'm saying? But we was that type of team.
Yeah, I can dig it.
So, and at the time, we beaten everybody. Mm-hmm. We're like 14-5 or something like the time, probably, I think. So I'm not privy to, you know, I'm not privy to the beef from the previous Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he wasn't surprised when I went in the stands behind Ron, because that's just how I am. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I said earlier. He about to tank.
I'm loyal.
And he knows sometimes it could be to a fault.
To a fault, yeah, right. Exactly.
But that's who he is.
And when he went, I didn't think twice. Right. Game was over. You know, we could talk about it now because people willing to look it down and slow down the frames. When I first went in the stands, I didn't throw a punch. Me and Mike got to Ron at the same time. We both grabbed him. What made me throw that punch was another beer was thrown in Ron's face. So that's what made me click. If anybody look at, I had no intentions. I ran by 30 people. And got to Ron. So I had no intentions on hitting nobody. But when the second beer came, I felt like it was just too disrespectful then, and that's what happened. But this is the funny part, what we don't talk about. This motherfucker went off after the game. So during the scuffling, somebody fuck around and elbowed him and bust his lip. So we in the locker room, we all chilling. Mike, hey, motherfuckers, let me tell y'all something. When I'm trying to break y'all, you motherfuckers hit me in my mouth.
Mike. Hold on, Mike. And then here come Rick. So Breedy came. Hi, Rick coming there. Yeah, motherfucker. When we kind of break, I don't push me either. Don't push me either. You know, they were grabbing Jermaine. Jermaine started pushing everybody. So they came in the locker room going on, dog. So it came to one point where Jermaine stood up. Am I lying, Mike? Bye. Jermaine stood up. Rick, we was chest to chest with the culture because he got hit in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? So it was, the emotions were high as shit at the time, bro. But I remember it like yesterday, dog. The emotions was high.
They was high until they came in and said, okay, we going to rest. Remember they said they going to rest two players and one coach.
And he was like, what? Arrest? We're like, we going to jail? Bro, hold up. We going to jail?
It got serious.
It got serious when they came in and Baron killed the whole everything when he asked him, was we going to get in trouble? When he said that, bro, the whole locker room was like, oh, Lord, come on, bro. In trouble. Bro, you ain't playing no more this year, dog.
That is crazy. Oh,
we'll be here all day, dog. We'll be here all day. We'll be here all day, man. But I love you, Mike. I never got a chance to tell you this on camera publicly. But you know how my mom and how I feel about you, how from the opportunities you gave me to San Antonio to the way you embraced me as like a little brother in the sun while I was in the league, to be able to tutor me. And even when I wasn't playing on your team, you still made phone calls and made sure I was straight, still checked on me. So that meant a lot to me because, you know, barely making it into the league and the road I took, you didn't have that many coaches that actually cared about me or my family or to come to my wedding or to things like that. So you made it a point to show me that you cared about me before I even played for you. So I love you forever, and I appreciate everything, Coach.
I love you too, man. And I can say the same for you in a lot of different instances. More importantly, though, them times you showed up Saturday morning to support my boys.
They had a hug today. I'm like, damn, how you know him? I start thinking, like, how you know him? Like, he hugged him. They had, like, a nice embrace. Yeah. I'm like, what's up? He's like, should I help raise, bro? Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Little brothers.
Yeah, that's dope.
Love. Yes, sir. Let's jump back up to your upbringing. Pops was in the Air Force, and you was always moving around. How was that, born in Columbus, Ohio, and bouncing around? How was that growing up?
It was cool from the standpoint. I experienced a lot of different cultures early on. Mm-hmm. And so it helped me go into a lot of different situations, not afraid or at ease, because I was in them types of situations all the time growing up, you know, constantly moving. You know, because your dad's in the Air Force, so you got to figure out, okay, how do I fit in when I get to this school? How do I make friends when I get to this school? How do I adjust to this culture? And being in Germany, yeah, you go to school with Americans because you're going to school on base and all that, but you're still living in the German community at times. You're still interacting because you're going off base with the Germans. So, again, it just helped me get more cultured at an earlier age, which translated to a lot of stuff for me, even in my coaching career.
Did you learn to speak the language?
I spoke it fairly well back then. I mean, I can ask where you live right now. How old are you? But you know, I'm dating myself. But that last time I was back there, it was back 1988. I was back there speaking it. So it's been a minute. Mm.
Growing up in the military environment, does that have a lot to do with the man you are today?
Yes, and I said it earlier. You know, my coaching style. Fortunate, blessed, lucky, however you want to call it, to get an opportunity at a young age. But I was disciplined. I was really disciplined, and in my opinion, organized. And you know, when I first got in the league, I was sleeping in my office. I thought it was the best thing in the world because, you know, I go down, sleep in the training room. I wake up, you got your showers there, you throwing a pair of shorts, and you clicking, you back at work. Mm-hmm. So my work ethic was off the charts, I credit a lot of that to my dad. My dad, he was an enlisted guy, but he, you know, his stuff was pressed every day. Mm-hmm. And there were times he didn't want to be in the military, but, you know, he did it. He did it with his head held high, and he was organized and disciplined and all that. And he instilled a lot of that in me that I carried over to my life and my direction, my goals that I had in mind for myself.
You were a basketball and football star. How did you get into those sports?
Again, my dad, he was he loved sports. And so all of us, you know, there's four of us, myself, my older sister, who she played softball growing up. She actually stopped and, you know, going to college. She was real smart, got an academic scholarship to Boston University. Then my younger brother who played 5 years in the NFL. And then my younger sister who played Division I basketball. My dad just started us early. He was one of those fathers that was around a lot of times. Mm-hmm. He coached us, you know, and because he was passionate about it, you know how it is, man. If your dad's passionate about something and you're younger, a lot of times you're gonna fall into that and you're gonna be passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And so that was that. It was mainly because of him and his love for the game.
Bernie Bickerstaff, David Fizdale, Hank Egan, Coach Egan, my guy, Chris Grant, Ed Musselman. Talk about the influence.
That's crazy.
The influence of San Diego and his influence on the NBA, San Diego.
Oh, man. There's a lot of us out there.
USD.
Yeah.
My UCLA coach is there now. Shout out Lab.
Yeah. Steve Lab, he's there. Mm-hmm. A lot has to do with it because, you know, we went to USD and we knew we couldn't play. So we had to figure out some other path to get to the league.
Self-awareness is very important.
You know, yeah. Gotta wing it.
You know, so we wanted to get to the league. We got to figure out how we get to the league because it wasn't going to be because we could play, you know, at the time. But another guy, James Brago, USD guy. Mm-hmm. But so it started, you know, I played there. Never forget, I was about to go on my last trip as a player on the team, stopped by Coach Egan's office. He got a coffee table in there. There's a USD magazine. And on the cover is a picture of Bernie Bickerstaff. And I'm like, whoa. And I started reading it because Bernie was kind of, at the time, he was my idol. Because here's an African-American that was a head coach and a GM already. Mm-hmm. But he never played in the league. And so I'm like reading this and I'm like, he went to USD? And, you know, because Bernie from the rural area of Kentucky, and his route to get to USD, it was crazy in itself. And so that blew my mind. So that even drew me closer to him. Although he didn't know me and I didn't know him, like, just from afar. So I asked Coach Egan, I said, hey, do you know anybody in the NBA I can get an internship with? Because I still had, it took me 4.5 years to graduate, so I had to come back for a half a semester. And he said, yeah, I know Larry Brown. Because Hank was at Air Force Academy when Larry was the head coach of the Nuggets. They used to come down there for training camp. And he goes, I know Bernie Bickerstaff. I said, you know Bernie? He said, yeah. I said, can you ask him for an internship? He said, yeah. So I did a summer internship, which turned into a job offer as a video coordinator. And that's how I got in the league. And then once I got in the league, you know, this is back in the day where we had the VHS tapes.
Tapes.
You know, deck to deck. Yeah. And then we had the big satellite dish and you had to plug in the coordinates to try to get the games. And I was the only guy in the video room. And so when they finally let me get help in the video room, I didn't really know nobody. So I just was calling on my ex-teammates. Chris Grant came in intern for me. Neil Meyer came in intern for me. David Fizdale, when he tried to get in business, we played. So Eric Spoelstra and I played against each other. He was at University of Portland and I was at USD. Now we was better than him. I used to kill him. We used to guard each other. You know, I used to bust his ass. We gonna put that on record. Okay. So, but he's still my guy, you know? And so when David Fizdale went to get in the league, we called Spo and said, hey, we got this young guy, Rokie. Hook up. So they didn't even know each other. So Spo took him on because Spo was in the video room. And then it's just started growing from there. You know,
that's really
that's
dope.
That's crazy.
Hell yeah.
That's
crazy. Assistant coach under Bickerstaff, under Pop, under Rick Carlisle. Obviously, three guys that made their mark as head coaches in this league. Real quick, one thing you learned from each of them.
Bernie Bickerstaff, I thought he was his feel for players. You know, you talk about a players coach. In my opinion, it's Bernie. Pop. He was a guy that, in my opinion, made everybody 1 through 15, plus everybody in the front office, everybody on the staff, even the janitors, feel like when they won it, they were all a part of it.
Yeah.
Everybody was a part of it. I don't know how he did it. I still try to duplicate that, but he was amazing in that area. Rick Carlisle, details. Mm-hmm. And he's
one of the smartest.
Yes.
Dog.
He is methodical about the details. And it's just because he's a smart, smart individual. Smart. Absolutely smart. Individual.
Really dope. You land your first job in 2005 as a head coach at just 35, very young, and being a black coach at that young. At that time, did you feel like you were ready? Had you had enough bumps and bruises yet? Or
I'd never go back on it. I'm going to keep taking that paycheck.
Right.
But if I was keeping it real, no. And that's that. Even though we had success, we had a lot of success because we had LeBron James. Now, he was still learning and growing too, but he made my job a lot easier. And when I look back on it now, I look at some of these young coaches now, like Mazzulla and some of the other guys, and I'm just amazed because the pressure now is even so much more so than back there because of the social media and all the other access that we give you guys now, to us. And so the jobs that they do are a lot harder than when I first got the job. And I watch them in interviews. I watch them on the sidelines and all that. And I'm just amazed at them. There was a lot that I still needed to learn. But I was fortunate, blessed, lucky to be able to have the job at the time and to take bumps and bruises.
Experience is the best teacher.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And which in turn has helped me be a better coach today.
Yeah.
One word to describe 21-year-old LeBron James.
Who?
That's it right there. For real, huh? I take that one.
That's it.
Man. That's a good one, too.
That's it. Really? That's it. Wow. That, from off the court to on the court.
Unbelievable.
To his body, to how he takes everything. His mind. Ooh.
At 21.
Ooh. At 21.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
So this ain't even on the rundown, but I'm thinking now that I see, because we're going to talk about the finals, the run you guys made to the finals against Detroit when he went nuts. That was that year, right?
Yeah.
To get you guys there. What was that like?
The thing that I remember most vividly is, I had a great staff back then, and Mike Malone, who I think one of the best coaches out there, he's on my staff. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, Detroit called a timeout. And you see all the coaches go to the free throw line and huddle up real quick, and then they go in and they say what they got to say. And I was young, Mike was young, and Hank was the guy that kept us steady. Mm-hmm. But this is the one time I kept us steady. So we go and we start talking, and Mike's like, "Hey, we gotta do this offensively." I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" I said, "No. We ain't fucking with LeBron right now.
Let that boy run."
I said, "We're gonna sit right here, and we're gonna wait until the buzzer's about to sound, and I'm gonna go in there, say my 1, 2, 3, and let them get back out on the floor."
Mm.
And so I went back in the huddle, and LeBron was saying something. I just stood there and listened. And then they turned and looked at me. I said,
1, 2, 3.
I didn't want to say nothing to that man.
Yeah, he was in that mold.
He was in it.
Incredible. In the finals, you're running up against your old boss, Greg Popovich. Obviously, San Antonio comes up on top. But what did you learn about yourself at that point?
Man, I learned a lot. It was tough. We played one way the whole year offensively. And my whole philosophy going into that situation was, if I can get these guys to defend at the highest of high levels, having a talent like LeBron at the end of the game, he's going to make enough plays mm-hmm. to where we're going to have a chance to win, because we believe in our defense that much. And LeBron is that good offensively. And so we played a lot of spread pick and roll with him. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people think spread pick and roll just started recently, but what people don't remember, we played Donyell Marshall at the four. And at the end of games, we had Anderson Varejao as our center.
Mm-hmm.
So we just did some action, some false action. And
what's the switch?
And Andy came up, and a lot of times he flipped that pick and roll, which helped Bron get downhill, mm-hmm. and now he's spraying. And, it was great during the regular season. And it got us through it, our defense, and that got us through during the playoffs. But we went up against that well-oiled machine. And they basically, wherever Bruce was guarding the pick and roll, they had, and Bruce was quick. And, you know, he was tough. Feisty, tough, mm-hmm. hungry, all that stuff. Bruce went all the way under and just waited on LeBron at the free throw line.
Yeah.
And then the big waited on LeBron at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And now they forced him to take jumpers at the time.
Yeah.
That hurt me, because
he wasn't as confident as jumper at the time.
Correct. And I didn't, it was hard to make adjustments at that time that drastically to your offense to try to beat
right.
those guys. Because mm-hmm. if you look at the score, it wasn't like we got blown out 100-79. They mm-hmm. were 85-82.
Yeah,
you
know, close games.
They were close games, but it was because we just couldn't, we were solid defensively. We couldn't score on that.
And Tim didn't play though well. Tony was going crazy.
Correct.
Tony was going crazy.
And if I remember right, what also hurt, Larry Hughes didn't play. Larry Hughes was our starting point guard. And he had gotten hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He had gotten hurt. And he didn't play.
Yeah.
And having him be able to match it with Tony might not have stopped Tony. But
he was one of the best defenders in the league around that time.
Yeah, he was mm-hmm. long, athletic.
Ain't going to make him work on the other end.
Yeah. Right, correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You took a lot of heat in the media at that time. Some were saying yeah. LeBron was coaching, and how did you deal? When that media storm and all that kind of bullshit and noise, how do you stay mentally strong and confident in your abilities?
It was hard as a young guy, you know, but I really tried to ignore the noise, even when we were playing well, because I didn't want, you know, you always attribute a lot of stuff to the people you work with. And one of the things that Rick Carlisle was really good at, he never really got too high. Nor he never really got too low. He was pretty even killed the whole time. And that helped me a lot working for him and listening to him say that. But having said all that, I'm human. It did bother me a little bit when the stuff that you heard. But I'm a firm believer that you got to give guys ownership. And And I got that. I even got that from Pop. I mean, I was in the huddle as an assistant coach on the great teams in San Antonio where sometimes Tim would say, no, let's do this. Let's do this on the board. And Pop would be like, okay. You know, the difference is Pop. And so they ain't gonna mess with him like they mess with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just part of it. So I accepted it and I moved on from it. And, you know, I grew from it and learned from it. Just like another thing, we were one of the first teams. And again, it's because of LeBron, our pregame, our guys were dancing and doing all this stuff. And people used to kill me. Like, you ain't got no control of your guys. They doing all this BS before the game. Like, it's basketball. They just having fun, you know? But because I was a young coach, it was and we were a young team, it was an easy target for people to talk about back then too, you know? But you learn a lot as a young guy, like Jack said. You know, you take your hits and your lumps. And as long as you don't, you know, as long as you take it and you try to grow from it in some way, shape, or form. And that's, I can honestly say that all the experiences that I've had and went through, I'd be the first to say I was wrong, you know, because I'm not right by no means all the time. And you just hope you learn and you grow from it.
That's it.
And you hopefully going to be better next time around.
Yep. Los Angeles Lakers come knocking. You get that job. You come in the year after Phil Jackson leaves. Hell of shoes to fill.
Mike made some bags, man. Mike did make some bags,
some
man.
Big shoes to fill. Lakers.
My boy got his bag.
How did that process happen?
First of all, if I could do it again, I probably wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, I'm mad at you.
Because, you know, Phil, he's one of the all-time greatest. And, you know, you're not going to be able to duplicate anything he does. And I hate to say this, but you ain't going to be able to duplicate what Pop did.
That's a tough
problem. You know, and even Steve Kerr now to some degree, you know. Yep. It just is what it is. But the challenge was great and all of that stuff. When I looked at the job, I just thought that there was still a lot left with the team. And obviously, God rest his soul, but Kobe's Kobe. So you know, okay, you got Kobe. And then the reality of it is, there were some great players. You know, Powell is great. Even Andrew Bynum for a young guy. You know, I don't know if at the time, did Ron change his name already? You Fish, there was a lot there. But the reality of it is, I was next most excited about Lamar Odom.
So much game.
And you're right. Not only did they have so much game, but the flexibility, the versatility gave that team. Like you could play big with him at the three,
Powell and Drew,
or you could play him small.
At the five.
Powell at the five, him at the four, and then you know what I'm saying. So the versatility on that team excited me more than anything else. And that was the lockout year. I never forget, man. We had a lockout year the whole time as a staff. We working on. And try how can we enhance this versatility, and not just offensively, but defensively too. And then 2 days before training camp start, you know, they say they traded them. Oh man, that crushed me. Crushed me. And you know, it is what it is. I thought we still had a decent year. I think we won the Pacific Division. I want to say that year and. We took OKC to seven games and or six games in the second round, and yes, there could have, you know, you look back and I wish I did this different or that different, but I thought we had a good year. And then year two, we started off 1-4. I was okay with it because we had a lot of new faces that we were trying to integrate in terms of Dwight, Nash, and it was maybe somebody else. But I go in and I get fired and it is what it is.
It's the business. That's the cold business. Gives five games. Real quick, what was it like working with Kobe and trying to, I don't even know, what do you call coach-player relationship? Not friends, but how did you get on the same page with Kobe? What was that process like?
It was great because Kobe, for me, you know, and there are a lot of coaches, you know, we have our own coach speak, but there are a lot of coaches that coach Kobe around Kobe. That had a hard time because Kobe blunt now. Kobe gonna look in the eye and tell you what he wanna tell you. For me, I like that because I felt I always knew where I stood with
him. You never had to assume.
I didn't have to be correct. That's the best way to say it. I didn't have to assume anything because if he didn't like it, He gonna tell you. And so that was, for me, the best part about him. You know, now you throw in his competitiveness and all this other stuff. And it was great. Now, the thing that was tough was because he had won championships with Phil and he won them in a certain way, it was hard as a young coach to say, hey, Kobe, let's do it this way.
New style. He wasn't having it.
Yeah.
I'll say it for you. Like you would just see. And it wasn't almost, it wasn't like I said, it wasn't almost a disrespect thing. It was just like, Kobe's like, we've won five this way. So yes, now there's a whole new philosophy of what Mike is trying to implement on us. And it's just sometimes it just didn't work.
100%. And I don't blame him because I'd probably be the same way too if I was with him and I experienced five championships doing it a certain way. But the tough part about it, man, as you know, is I can't be Phil. That's hard. And not only that, I wasn't even on his staff. So I don't really. So now I'm learning a lot as we're going along of what used to happen. And because I don't coach like that or I wasn't around, sometimes it's hard for me. I can't adjust just because Phil did it.
Right. You know, you got to do it your way. Yep. But what you didn't know coming in, like, there was some internal funk. And when Phil decided it was time and Mike came in, you would never know Phil Jackson was ever there. They took all of his shit down, bro. It was crazy. All of it. So some guys are coming back like.
Not only that, if you remember too, the whole scouting department, they
gone.
Was gone. And then they brought in, I mean, there was a lot of change
at that time. I think Jim Buss was making calls at that point, and there was a lot of moving parts. Outside of basketball, who's Mike Brown?
Oh, man. I'm a grandfather.
Wow, you're a papa, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, quick story on that. So my son Elijah, when he told me, when he and his girl, they said they were pregnant, the first thing, and people going to look at me kind of like, dang, he asshole. But I was like, first thing that popped in mind was, I mean, it was cool and all that, but I didn't say congratulations and all that. First thing I said was, man, I still got some swag in my game. I can't be called grandpa. Or I said, Pop, that's my dad's name. My dad is Pop. I said, that's my shame to get rid of all the grades. You know, like, you look good with your stuff, Jack.
But I still got my swag. Don't put that on me.
So the first thing I thought of, I said, hey, look, man. I said, that's good. I said, but the baby's gonna have to call me Big Mike.
Big Mike.
I said, the baby's gonna have to call me Big Mike.
No papa. No, Big Mike.
Man, as soon as my grandson got here, man, I looked it up. Somebody said it. Somebody said, oh, look at Paw, looking at him.
It's over with.
That's my name. P-A-W-P-A-W. My name Paw right now. Yeah. You know?
So, I'm Paw 5, so I know.
So I, you know, I love being a grandfather, man. I love my family time. I love my motorcycles, you know. That's it in a nutshell. You know, I love my boys. I mean, I FaceTime, and you know, one of them was working for me, the other one was working for the 49ers. I'm FaceTiming.
I'm
talking
so proud to hear that.
That's awesome. I see the smile on your face. I mean, it's been a hell of a journey. Obviously, not over. You got an opportunity to coach some of the greatest players ever to play this game. Two we didn't talk about, and I want to touch on before we let you out of here, Steph and KD.
I tell you what, and you said it. I did. Again, fortunate, blessed, lucky, having you on a call to be able to coach some of the greatest. And if I could say that they all have one thing in common, it's their competitive spirit. The competitive spirit for who they are already, which is what makes them great. And you can put / work ethic. Because a lot of people think that these guys just show up.
Hell no.
You know, the time and the commitment that they put in behind the scenes to be great. And then when the lights come on, they don't understand how competitive they are when it comes to trying to win and to contribute what they can contribute to help teams win. It's unbelievable.
That's your solo camera right there, talking to all the Kings fans. What do you got to tell them this year, Coach?
You guys were great last year. We're going to need you even more this year. So keep doing your thing. Keep showing us love. And we're going to keep laying it out on the floor every single time we step on that hardwood. A lot of love for you guys. And Sacramento, let's rise up, baby.
Like
let's
that fucking it. Beam.
Light the beam.
Before we get out of here, Mike, if you could rewatch any game in the history courtside, which game would it be?
Dang, that's a great call. So there's just a couple. I'm going to give you two. So okay. when we played the Clippers last year, I know it was just a regular season, but it was 175-176.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There was some.
That triple overtime, double overtime?
Something like that. There was some great basketball plays in that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a lot of fun. And then the reality of it is, we spoke on it earlier, when LeBron had 27 straight, to be able to sit there and watch it, you do appreciate it. But if I was a fan, oh my gosh.
You'd enjoy it way more.
Yeah.
Telling your grandkids about that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was beautiful.
Tough one coming up next. Yeah.
Tough question. Got to hit you with it, though. Rank them.
Oh.
Jordan, Kobe, Braun.
Ooh. Everybody going to think I'm dodging. Man, I'm okay with it.
You ain't the first person.
So it depends on what you want. You know what I'm saying?
Explain what you mean by that, because I get what you're saying, but the fans may not.
So, like, back in the day when Braun was a young guy playing for us, I'll never forget, we're playing Washington, I think, the first time we made the playoffs, and in the game, boom, boom, he dropped at Washington. He gets double or triple team. He kicks it to Damon Jones. Damon Jones hit from the left baseline, hits a bucket wide open. That set the tone for who we were and why we were as good as we were the next 4 or 5 years because of his unselfishness, his willingness to make the right play every single time. So I was never mad at him for making the right play.
Right.
Because now it makes it easier for me to tell you
to make the right play.
This one doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's crazy he gets knocked for that, though.
That used to drive me insane. Mm-hmm. And it's like, are you trying to create an individual? Or are you trying to create a team?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so if you're, especially if you're putting a team together, okay, for the first time, and you're trying to lay the foundation, the principles, the culture, all that.
Braun.
Because he's going to help with that connectivity.
All around.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if you just want straight killers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That at time would say, fuck the team, I got you.
And who can get you and carry you. Then you go with those guys. One of the things that I will say is, and at the end of the day, and this is why Braun is still – why he's still, in my opinion, from the outside looking at why he's still working as hard as he's working to not only just to be the greatest, but to have his team be the greatest, because he knows, and I bet you the other two guys will say the same thing, that the championships have a lot to do with it at the end of the day.
Yeah,
when you're talking about greatness.
If you got championships, then you got a right to say
that. I remember Kobe wanted 6. I want to sit at the same table as MJ. So now Braun's saying, I want 5. I want to be in that conversation with Magic and Kobe.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Funniest thing that's happened to you recently.
Oh, dang. That's a good one. But as early as today, I tried to play it off. But I tripped. I got sniped about 5 times during practice. and I say this because we had our coaches meetings after practice, and you know, you try to play it off, you just try to act cool, try to just jog it off. You know? And first thing, I sat down, we started talking, and one of my coach, Luke Lauchs, he got a chance to be a head coach. I got 4 or 5 cats on my staff.
Yeah, Jordy was ranked, what, the number? Jordy. The best Luke, assistant coach in the league, right?
DC. Mm-hmm. DC is learning. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, people sleeping on DC. What I like about him, too, he's like Darvin Ham. When I had Darvin Ham in the Lakers, with me and the Lakers, because he was coaching in New Mexico at a really low level, and he had just got fired or something, and so I bring D-Ham in, and we wanted to give D-Ham scouts that year. And I got the most respect in the world for him. He said, Mike, I'm not ready for that right now.
Interesting.
And it takes a lot for somebody to say, because, you know, everybody wants to show they can talk and show they know and all that. But D-Ham said, I'm not ready for that. Let me learn and do it. And then later on or next year, I'll do scouts.
Mm-hmm.
But DC works hard at his craft, you know, and there's too many of us, especially y'all as black ex-players, and I'm not trying to go down that road too far, but where they like, let's hire him because he can help with the relationship.
No question.
You know what I'm saying?
No question.
And Doug and D. Ham are guys that I've been around to take that to heart. Like, they trying to learn the game. And that, in my opinion, that's what makes D-Ham, because he got what y'all got, and he also got the other stuff. And there's a lot of guys out there that have that just don't get the opportunity. Yeah. But so I, now going back, I sat down, and Luke's smart ass, we talking serious. He said, hey, he said, hey, you got sniped to come to UCLA. I'm like, look, where you going with it, man? But he said, are your sneakers new?
But y'all that don't know, the reason why we say snipe, because when you're in the basketball gym, there's no humps in the floor, the lines are flat, so it's no reason to trip. You just might be running or walking, and the floor is just freshly got showered.
Fuck that. In Miami, someone tripped me. Remember that?
I got it.
Hey, D-Wade pump faked me. I ran into the stands. That shit was fucked up, but someone tripped me. I swear. I didn't get sniped. Someone tripped me. Top five coaches, in your opinion, all time.
Ooh. That's good. I mean, you got to throw Pop in there. Chuck Daly, you got to throw Chuck Daly.
Rest in peace.
I'm gonna say these two names, but the career is not over, and they probably going. You got to throw Steve Kerr. You got to throw Spoelstra probably in there.
Good call.
This is just me selfishly. I don't know this, but as much love as Red Auerbach got, he might have to be in there, as well as Bill Russell. So Bill, a lot of people don't know, he was a player coach,
right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how many?
Eight, right?
He won, but as a player coach.
11 total.
Yeah, 11 total, but I think he won a couple as a player's coach.
Yeah.
So if I'm correct, then I would have to, because I don't know if there's anything harder than to be a player coach.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who's going to sub you out?
In the time that he was living in.
Right?
Yeah, correct. You go down the line.
Yeah. So,
five dinner guests, dead or alive. Anybody at your table breaking bread with you?
Man, I know people will be like, hey, man, he don't know what he's talking about, but my family, my two boys, my grandson, my girl.
I love it. You know, this is the first, we're over 200 episodes. You're the only person that's ever said that. I like that.
I liked it too.
No, that's my family, man.
Dope.
That's right. Who do you want to see on our show, All the Smoke?
But
before you answer that question, you have to help us get your answer on the show.
Oh.
I done got good at that shit. Dude. I used to stutter like a motherfucker. Hey,
Mike has coached and been around a lot of great people.
Yes, he has.
So I'm sure his Rolodex is thick as a motherfucker.
No, you know what? I was about to say, I love to see Pop on your show.
I would be honored.
I'd love to see Pop. But also the next two down, and Steve, Kerr, and Spoelstra.
We got Steve already. Spoelstra would be dope.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be a good call. Any of those.
Steve Kerr told some great stories.
Yeah. He got a lot. I got to try to find that one and go back and see that one.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Because he got some stuff.
Yeah.
He definitely got some real stuff.
After we won in 06, uh-huh. I mean, 03, when we won the West Conference Finals, and he came in and hit those four threes.
Yes.
After the game, the media was all on him.
But I
was sitting in the back.
Yup.
Me and it was Ginobili. First Ginobili came over, was like, bro, you deserve the MVP.
Yep.
Then Steve Kerr came. They was asking him questions. He beelined to the back. Like, you want us this game. That meant the world to me.
That's dope.
That's what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking about right there. Because he got a lot of love, which, you know, he hit some big shots.
Mm-hmm.
But if he don't do him,
mm-hmm.
He don't even have a chance to hit the big shot.
Yeah.
Talk to him.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, man, we appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck with this team. Definitely long overdue. Happy for you. Like I said, from here and seeing what you've been able to change, not only this team into, but the city. Because like Jack said, as much as I love Sac, there ain't much to do out here. But you brought winning back to Sacramento. And I know that means a lot for every single person in the city, man. So we wish you the best of luck this season and for many seasons on, and thank you for your time.
I appreciate that. But now I heard you about to ask a quick question about my best art. I'm going to give one name. Can I throw one name out there?
Throw five of them if you want.
I'm going to throw one out there. So a lot of people, I like old school rap, okay? And that's what if you hear music coming from a Harley, it's going to probably be old school rap or it's going to be country, one or two. Yeah. So I got to give a little love to my guy, Kane Brown. Kane Brown, country music.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
I'm familiar. Right?
I haven't heard his music, but I heard of him.
Kane Brown. He knows his stuff.
Well, make sure you check him out, man. Well, that's Mike Brown, reigning NBA Coach of the Year. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.